Welcome to the Eco-News Report. I'm your host this week, Tom Wheeler, Executive Director of the Environmental Protection Information Center, or EPIC. Joining me by phone is Humboldt County Planner Connor McGuigan. He is in charge of our Climate Action Plan. So today's show, we're going to talk about the Climate Action Plan, what it means, and how it's going to get implemented. Hey, Connor.
Hey, Tom. How's it going?
It's going. We are recording in the midst of the shelter-in-place order. So I'm recording from my home studio, aka the second bedroom. And Connor looks like he is in his second bedroom as well. So, you know, if you hear a cat meowing in the background, please excuse that. All right. So we're talking about the Climate Action Plan today. And this is something you're intimately familiar with because you are hired by the county to do the Climate Action Plan. So for those who are unfamiliar, what the heck is a climate action plan and why should we care about it?
Well, I'd say the quick and easy definition is it's a plan undertaken by a local government to reduce greenhouse gas emissions within that government's jurisdiction. And that's kind of like the technical planning definition, but climate action is a pretty broad concept. So I guess you could say a climate action plan is any plan that put together by citizens or, you know, local governments to try to address either the causes of climate change or, you know, try to alleviate some of the effects.
So is this a requirement of state law? Do we have to do this or is this a voluntary action that we're taking?
Yeah. So back to the sort of technical planning definition, it comes from the state. So the state basically suggests in a pretty serious way that local governments create these plans. Through the California Environmental Quality Act, they make it as the best possible way to assess greenhouse gas emissions. So either way, the county of Humboldt has to assess greenhouse gas emissions with its projects. It's just like the new way of life in California. And that's great. And climate action plans are basically a way to take a look at conditions here in Humboldt and see how we can assess and reduce those greenhouse gas emissions in a way that kind of fits what's going on in our communities.
So I will perhaps put a spin on this, which is even if you are skeptical of global climate change, there's a realization that you have to get through CEQA. And this is probably going to make our CEQA documents more defensible. So if you like development and want to see more of it, this is one way that you can have more bulletproof CEQA documents and not get your project held up in court. Does that sound somewhat right there, Connor?
It's a fact that, you know, any project that triggers CEQA, which would be, you know, something that a government does or something that is subject to a decision by the government, you know, so a project that you need to get a discretionary permit, for example. And yeah, you're totally right that greenhouse gases have to be analyzed under CEQA. And if we set up this climate action plan in a way that kind of streamlines that analysis, it basically tells developers, okay, here are all the things that you can do to get to those less than significant levels of greenhouse gases. In some ways, it makes the picture a little simpler. So I'd say it's a win for, you know, people who are interested in growth, but also environmentalists, or can be.
Can be.
Yeah. And I imagine that this might be a cost saving for people in the future too. So instead of having to do more complicated greenhouse gas analysis for each project, if we are able to streamline some things, as you said, then it will simplify the permitting process and allow things to get through quicker, although perhaps with some additional mitigation measures to reduce greenhouse gas emissions associated with that project.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
All right. So what's the genesis of this? How did we get to drafting a climate action plan?
Well, it started with the update of our general plan in 2017. The county said that as part of that plan, they said in the near future, we're going to create one of these climate action plans. And they actually, if you look through the general plan, there's this one sentence that kind of defined all of the work that we've done in the last year and a half. It says create a multi-jurisdictional climate action plan. So that was, the general plan was adopted in 2017. I moved to Humboldt County and started working on this in 2018. And for the past year and a half, we've been coordinating with the seven cities here in Humboldt County and a number of other agencies and local groups. And I've been trying to fulfill that promise of a truly regional project to reduce greenhouse gas emissions.
We had a stalled effort before. So in 2012, we also had a draft climate action plan that was produced, and it never got past the draft stage. And there was some thinking that it was going to be completed as part of the general plan update process. It never was. So I would say that we are behind the eight ball on this. You know, if you believe the kind of, you know, United Nations Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change, we have a very tight time frame to get very significant greenhouse gas reductions accomplished. So it couldn't come soon enough. And I know that, Connor, you're hard at work getting it done as fast as possible. A little more of the backstory too, and this is where I'll have the shameless plug for EPIC, is that this is a result of environmental advocacy. So after the general plan update was completed in 2017, EPIC went to Supervisor Mike Wilson and said, "Hey, Mike, let's do this. It says that we need to do it. Let's do it now. This is our number one priority." And Mike said, "Yeah, this is my priority too." So Mike went to Plan Director John Ford. John Ford, to his ever loving credit, said, "Yeah, this is my priority too. Let's get it done." And so that is the environmental role behind this, which was a lot easier than most things I've ever had to do to get this completed. It was so a little bit of a brag, but really I would like to make sure that Supervisor Wilson and Plan Director Ford get their absolute due credit in pushing this forward, because without them, you know, I would have just been another voice in the wilderness. All right. So the Climate Action Plan, as you said, multi-jurisdictional. So this is going to cover not just Humboldt County, but seven additional cities. So this is going to be the climate action plan for our region. So instead of having multiple climate action plans between, you know, the city of Arcata having one and the city of Eureka having one and the county having one, we're able to kind of facilitate a cohesive response to global climate change. And so we can do things that make sense, that cross jurisdictional bounds. So we can think about how a trail network like the Humboldt Bay Trail, which connects or will connect Arcata and Eureka, how that will be able to factor into a reduction in vehicle miles traveled and therefore greenhouse gas reductions. So the first part of your planning process, you're taking a look at our greenhouse gas emissions. And I think that this is backdated to the year 2015. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's right.
So what are our most major emission categories?
Well, it's probably no surprise that transportation is number one. So yeah, vehicle trips account for something like 55% of all emissions for the year 2015 in Humboldt County. And it's kind of similar to other more rural California counties. I'd say that transportation, you know, it's also the biggest emission source in the state. So that is not necessarily unique, but that 54% is a huge share here. And then the next major sources, it's sort of a two or three way tie between livestock. So methane emissions from the digestive process of cows and other ruminant animals. And then you have building energy, which we could break up into two distinct sources. The first would be electricity consumption, and the second would be the combustion of fuels like natural gas and propane. And in Humboldt County, the combustion of fuels is actually a larger source of emissions than electricity consumption. And that is especially relevant as we move into the future, because Redwood Coast Energy Authority, as you're familiar with, lots of people know their work. They are transitioning the Humboldt County grid, you could say, or the energy that we buy, to 100% renewable sources. So that leaves us with an even more significant portion of the greenhouse gas inventory resulting from natural gas and propane use. So those are the top sources I just mentioned. And yeah, so natural gas and propane use and transportation, those are the big fish to fry.
So transportation, you said, is the largest. Transportation can be broken into a number of different kind of chunks. We have trucking, you know, delivery of things into and out of the area. We have commercial flights and non-commercial flights, and we have personal vehicle use. So what of these is kind of the highest priority or the largest emissions sector?
The use of gasoline in on-road passenger vehicles is the number one. If you were to break out that transportation slice of the pie, that would be the number one source. So it basically our everyday vehicle trips. But diesel use for on-road vehicles is also significant. And of course, diesel use in more retail. In commercial trucking, that would be number two. So, but far and away, I think the gasoline-powered passenger vehicles account for about half of our transportation emissions, and that's by far the biggest slice of that pie. And then I want to mention air travel. It's the way that we calculated it in the inventory. I'm not super familiar with it, so I want to give a quick plug for the work of Jerome Carmen and Redwood Coast Energy Authority, who compiled this inventory. And the way that they calculated air travel emissions, I don't believe it accounts for all of the fuel used by passenger aircraft in their trips generated outside of the county coming to the county. So it's actually a relatively small portion of the inventory as we calculated it. But it's an important point to realize is that there are so many different ways to model greenhouse gas emissions. And the way we did it is a relatively straightforward way that's basically, we're designing this inventory as a platform for action. So we're taking a really good look at local sources of emissions that, you know, we as a community can really take ownership over. And air travel, which isn't really, you know, there aren't as many levers to push and pull on the county level to influence that. So it's not a priority area for the climate action plan.
So let's get back to something that you said just a minute ago, which is kind of the methodology for figuring out what are and aren't the greenhouse gas emissions. So I take it that there is some sort of standard methodology that has been kind of approved by the state or has been used throughout climate action plans across the state. And this isn't just Humboldt County trying to figure it out as we go.
Well, it's a bit of both, honestly. There's a very well-defined and well-crafted methodology prepared by ICLEI that basically all local governments in California creating climate action plans have used. And we use that as the basis for our inventory, but we also did some local fine tuning to make it more representative of what goes on here in Humboldt County, which is kind of a theme throughout this whole project. Like, we would really, I think, suffer if we did a copy and paste approach to this sort of climate action planning, because Humboldt County is pretty unique in a number of ways. And yeah, we could get into that, but there are things that we built into the inventory and the forecast and even how we're selecting these climate action plan measures that are unique to Humboldt County, I would say.
So you mentioned that Humboldt County is unique. And one of the ways that we are unique is that we are the number one timber producing county in California. We have, I think, the most acreage of commercial timberlands available, and we produce most board footage. When you are looking at greenhouse gas emissions, are you also thinking about potential carbon savings from the timber industry? Does that get factored into an overall, or is it just looking at emissions categories and not potential carbon sinks?
Well, you're right. We absolutely need to work on carbon sequestration, or what's often called negative emissions, if we're going to adequately address climate change. It's a huge priority for the state and for the county and for the entire world. And in some ways, that's a kind of a problem, because the traditional climate action planning framework just focuses mostly on sources of emissions. And the ways to account for, you know, carbon sequestration or carbon storage on a countywide scale are pretty new, and we haven't yet incorporated that into this climate action plan. But we definitely are considering, and this comes from a lot of public input, especially considering ways we can incentivize or encourage land management practices or forestry practices that, you know, promote carbon sequestration. There's a lot of great ideas out there, and I'm not an expert in this field. So I go to these meetings and I talk to people. I recently met with Norm Ehrlich, who's the who's at Six River Solar, he was telling me about this technology he's developing to do on-site generation using wood gasification. And that's just one example of cool ideas out there. I mean, if I don't think with this climate action plan, the county is going to, at least at this moment, do anything that's really like prescriptive related to the timber industry or this topic that you brought up. But I think that there are a lot of opportunities on a more smaller scale for like local small scale landowners or local businesses or cannabis growers. There are ways we can sort of encourage practices that are more sustainable and like manage forests with climate change in mind.
As you mentioned, though, you know, timber is difficult because the county lacks so much power over timber operations. It's an area outside of our jurisdiction. Welcome to the Eco News Report. Connor McGuigan of the Humboldt County Planning Department is with us, and we're talking about the Humboldt County Climate Action Plan.
Yeah, because with this climate, you know, when you hear the term climate action plan, so many people are really well informed about the climate crisis. They know what needs to happen. And unfortunately, this climate action plan is not going to be a way to deliver all of that. And that's what I would, that's like one of my takeaways from this work is that you need to attack this thing on all fronts. And local government action is only one of those fronts. So for this plan, we're laser focused on transportation emissions and building energy emissions, because those are the big things that local governments and in partnership with communities can really have an influence on. So I would say that there are lots of different, for instance, forestry. You said that's not the county's jurisdiction. That doesn't mean that we don't need to and we shouldn't try to think of a future in which forests are managed for their carbon as a priority. It just maybe doesn't mean that the county of Humboldt is going to have much say in that.
So we've kind of naturally transitioned to this conversation about how to prevent emissions. So the first part of the climate action plan is an inventory of what exists. And so based on what we know exists, then we can come up with strategies to get us down to whatever our target will be. So let's dive into strategies to reduce greenhouse gas emissions from transportation. So if this is our largest category of greenhouse gas emissions, it seems to me that this is going to be the one that will be the most important for us to tackle. By weight, it's the heaviest. So what do you think about when you're trying to come up with a strategy to reduce greenhouse gas emissions? Is it reducing vehicle miles traveled? Is it trying to swap technology? So right now, you know, combustion engines, gas burners are our dominant form of engine type in personal vehicles. Is it switching to electric vehicles? Is it all of the above?
It's got to be all of the above. And it's a tough question, though, because let's think about Humboldt County. So we know that as part of this climate action plan, we have to reduce emissions from transportation. And where my mind and a lot of the people you talk to, I've talked to in the climate action planning process, the first thing that comes to mind is we got to drive less. We have to reduce the amount of vehicle trips we take and reduce VMT or vehicle miles traveled. And that's super important. Some of the ways we can do that are, you know, sort of encouraging more smart growth, as it's often called. So infill development in already urbanized areas so people can walk and bike more easily.
So I just want to dive into infill development and kind of why that would reduce in vehicle miles traveled. And it's because one of the I think it might be the number one source of vehicle miles traveled is commuting to and from work. And so if we have people living closer to where they work, even if they still drive in, you know, then you're not going to be making a 40-mile round trip. You might be only making a 20 or 10-mile round trip. So if we can kind of densify areas, that's one way that we can cook in just inherently fewer vehicle miles traveled. So if you get people and they just kind of live tighter together, you're going to have fewer car trips. And then additionally, you have this other benefit, which is once you get people tightly together, then they start to walk more because there's going to be services and restaurants and whatever else within walking distance. So it's one way to reduce vehicle miles traveled, although, you know, it's probably the hardest thing that we can change because we're thinking about reforming the way that we've settled and will settle our land. Whereas, you know, one great thing about an electric car or building wind turbines or whatever it is that it's there's some capacity to just kind of swap one for one, right? Not quite one for one, but it's a plug and play type reduction. And reducing vehicle miles traveled is a long haul, long-term process of reducing the way that we move.
Yeah, totally. But you brought up sort of the other thing we can do, which is swap fuels in our vehicles. And that's what I was going to get to is basically that's super important for, especially for Humboldt County, where it's hard to reduce vehicle miles traveled. But I do personally believe that reducing our vehicle trips should be a priority strategy, even though it's a huge challenge. And that's because of all of the additional benefits, some of which you already brought up, that could be brought about by reducing VMT. So whether it's, you know, more vibrant, lively communities, or for instance, if you were to take an action to consolidate vehicle trips by, say, making transit more accessible or subsidizing transit passes or making some routes free, then that grants access to, you know, people who aren't able to rely on a car for transportation, or more low-income populations to get around. And there are all sorts of ways that pedestrianizing and making places bike-friendly and improving transit can sort of improve, I guess you could say, quality of life throughout the whole county. So I believe strongly in that. And I do think that even though it's less of a plug-and-play option like you brought up, I think it's really important.
So the coronavirus does also provide one sort of unplanned experiment in reducing vehicle miles traveled, and that is teleworking. So we're both at our respective homes right now, and we are taking full advantage of teleworking right now and telecommuting. Is increasing telecommuting, is this something that the county is considering as a way to reduce vehicle trips? So if you don't have to drive into the office, you can save all of that carbon.
Yes, it is. It's something that was on the table even before COVID hit. And I think it would be great. I think this is a learning experience for the counties, and I assume any other employer out there who's able to ask its employees to work from home. So we have the protocols now. And I'd say as part of this climate action plan, we're definitely ready to adopt some sort of telecommuting policy. And yeah, we were talking the other day about what it's like to work from home. And yeah, I'm getting my car a lot less. You brought up emissions and saving money on gas. And I find myself, well, I don't have many places to go, so I end up walking. You know, I take walks every day. And I find that it's given me this entire new understanding of my neighborhood here in Eureka. And this experience has really opened my eyes, honestly, to how wedded I was to my car to get around before, and what amazing revitalizing effects, you know, walking and biking can have in how you see the world around you. That's to just put a little positive note on what's going on in the world right now.
Yeah, we need all the positive notes we can. And I feel you when it comes to the coronavirus kind of giving a forced rethinking of how we live. And I think that this is something that is not unique to the two of us. I've seen a drastic increase in people walking by my house. And it's great to see families out together on an evening walk. Whereas before, you know, it never would have struck them to go and do this. And what a wonderful time. So I hope that this is something that, you know, when the shelter in place order gets lifted, that we continue to do and continue to appreciate is our evening walks, our kind of are walking as a form of entertainment, because I've really enjoyed it myself. So greenhouse gas emissions from transportation, number one. Let's skip dairy and animal sources for now, and let's get to electricity and home combustion. One thing that the city of Arcata is considering right now is following in Berkeley's steps. So Berkeley, I think, is the first city in the United States that has banned new construction from installing things that require combustion, like gas stoves or gas furnaces. So they've moved to become 100% electric new construction city. Is that something that the Humboldt County Climate Action Plan would consider as part of a strategy?
It's definitely on the table. And you mentioned the city of Arcata is interested in pursuing that. For my predictions, I can't think of another city that is as gung-ho about something like requiring building electrification as Arcata is, but we know we need to electrify buildings, right? I mean, otherwise we're not going to meet our climate goals, and Humboldt County will then end up behind the rest of the state because Berkeley decided to pass this ordinance, and that same summer, six or seven other cities in California passed similar ordinances. So it's what's coming down the pipeline, whether we like it or not. But I would actually also want to bring up the importance of electrifying existing housing stock, because Humboldt County, another sort of unique thing about our home is that we're not projected to have a bunch of growth over the next 20 years. You know, if we were just to focus on requiring or encouraging electric new buildings, we wouldn't make much of a dent in emissions. So the real goal is to try to swap out natural gas and propane appliances in existing buildings.
And I want to give a shout out to Michael Winkler there at the city of Arcata, because so much of the city's drive for this is inspired by Michael. And he is a big proponent for electrification of all things. So this is an ambitious document. It's an ambitious process to try to reduce greenhouse gas emissions, because in part it's kind of rethinking our economy. What is giving you hope? What makes you feel like we actually are going to be able to do this?
That's a great question.
Does anything give you hope?
Yeah. Well, we need hope right now. I'm trying to think. I mean, I get a lot of encouragement from what's going on elsewhere in the state. And I am not a pessimist about this stuff. I see Humboldt County as actually a great place to either break new ground or to kind of carry the baton from what other counties and cities have been doing. You know, you brought up cities banning natural gas and new construction. It doesn't have to be something like that. It could be more of like a community program. Let's say, you know, we have stuff that's going on right now that I think is a testament to the fact that people in Humboldt County really value stewardship of the land and giving back to their communities. And so I see this as like, this climate action plan could be an opportunity to sort of do the more DIY from the ground up projects like weatherization in low income homes, or some sort of, you know, community based retrofit program for appliances. I think that things could work here that don't work elsewhere. And to answer your question on the global scale of climate change, like, that I don't have as much of an answer for, but I actually do feel hopeful about climate action in Humboldt County and for what's going on throughout the world. I think that it's hard to find hope a lot of the time, and I think that we have to act as if we had hope when we can't find it, and perhaps we need to find a way to do the right thing based on first principles, even in the absence of hope. I think that's sort of where I've arrived. But back to Humboldt County, I really do feel optimistic and excited about the opportunities we have here.
So, climate action plan, let's end on this. When is the draft expected out, and how can people kind of participate in its review?
The schedule has definitely been complicated by COVID, but the plan was to have a draft done by June, and hopefully we can still hit that mark. It will be posted on the Climate Action Plan webpage, which you can find just by Googling Humboldt County Climate Action Plan. And we will host either virtual or maybe by this time physical workshops to go over the draft Climate Action Plan and get feedback.
All right. Thank you, Connor, for joining the Eco News Report. And folks out there, go home and Google Humboldt County Climate Action Plan and you'll find the website. All right, this has been another issue of the Eco News Report. Thank you so much for joining us. See you on this time and channel next week for more environmental news from the North Coast.